I had a great conversation with Joyce Dickey this week. And one of the things she said she missed all your guys' hugs. And you could just hear it in her voice and her smile and everything. So keep her in our prayers, and let's hope she can get back here sooner than a lot of people think. I've got a little story I want to read from. It's called positivenews.com. Nice website. A lot better than a lot of the ones out there. And it's by Lucille Pearl. I thought I had, but I hadn't. Actually forgiven, said Mary. The root of bitterness ran deep. Anger had set in, and I hated everyone. I remained like this for years, driving many people away. When he, OSHA, left the room, I bent over, saying, I've just hugged the man who murdered my son. From that day on, I haven't felt any hatred, animosity, anger. It was over. This was Mary Johnson back in 1993. Her only son was murdered by that man she had just hugged, OSHA, when he was 16. And he was sentenced to 25 years in prison. For many years, she had held on to that and not forgiven him. And then finally, she started to visit him and get to know him. And that moment when she gave him that hug, released it. It was a changing point. She dedicated her life to now working with people of violence. And when OSHA was released, moved in right next to her. And they worked together to helping people that have gone through the same things that they had just gone through. If you want a title, it's The Hug of Forgiveness. The Hug of Forgiveness. If you turn to Psalms 51, I read this every week, parts of Psalms 51. I love it, but sometimes you can read things over and over and you don't take the time to really think about what the words are saying. And this is the prayer of David when he's pouring himself out to God over the death of his child. When you read these, really think how you would feel, you know, if your son had died, if it was a result of a sin that you had done. Psalms 51:1. And when we go through these words, think about if you had just lost your child. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. You can just hear how truly repentant. You know there was a lot of tears during this, asking God's forgiveness for the horrible, horrible things he had done. And as we go down to verse 9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew my steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. You can see the passion there. He knows his only way back is to ask God for forgiveness. There's no hiding. Everybody knew what he had done. There's a depth of feeling, of repentance, emotion, wanting to really, really change. Coming before God, knowing that we're filth. The sins, all of us that we've done. But he was so repentant. When we sin, do we throw ourselves at God's feet for the things we've done? Do we really get down on our knees and think about how Jesus had to die for each one of our sins? Every sin, the penalty of sin is death. Thinking about how wrong we were, the opposite, living the opposite of the way God wanted to do this sin. Ashamed of it, not just, hey God, I did this, kind of forgive me and move on, but really think about what we're asking when we're asking for that forgiveness. Sometimes our sins don't seem to be the magnitude of what his were, like when David counted the census when God said not to, and 70,000 people died. You can't even imagine their families, their friends, their kids. And then the sins with Bathsheba, and then the murder of her husband, of Uriah, the death of his baby. I mean, and then later on, all the pain. God forgave, but there was penalties that he lived with for the rest of his life. But he knew to restore himself, kind of like that hug had restored Mary Johnson. He knew going to God, even at such a higher level of forgiveness, it restored him. Of course, we know God's going to forgive us no matter what we do if we come to him with that kind of repentant attitude that David had. It was sincere. It was that gift. It was that hug of forgiveness. Whenever you get that incredible hug when you're going through something and you're just like, ah, your parent, your husband, somebody, that friend is there for you. It's going to be okay. I just think that's a great analogy of when God forgives us. We come to him humbly and he gives us that hug. He restores us. David really appreciated that merciful gift of forgiveness. And this is a time of year to really be thinking, and how much do we appreciate that when we go before God on our knees, humbly, and thinking even deeper, and meditating like we were talking about in the sermonette, meditate even more. Don't just read over these words we've read over so many times. Meditate, ask God to really have it jump out and make it personal as we prepare for the holy days this year. There are amazing blessings that come from seeking and giving forgiveness, but there's also some major curses and consequences if we're not repentant or forgiving of others. My main point today is the more we understand Christ's mind and character, the more we really dive into the scriptures and understand Christ's mind and character, the more we'll understand and appreciate the amazing gift of God's forgiveness. It's an amazing gift. And want to give it to others, not begrudgingly. If that's on our mind, how it'll humble us. You know, it's like, we'll want to give it to others. And that's hard, and that doesn't happen without God's Spirit working with us. Since we've been forgiven for so many things, there's so many things we all have done, and only God knows, and we know all of those. And sometimes we don't even know. Some of those are hidden ones. And we ask God, show us, especially before Passover, show us where those sins are that we don't even realize maybe we're doing, so we can become more like you, so our mind can become more like you, Christ. Some of the definitions of forgiveness in dictionary.com and the Merriam-Webster dictionary was, in short, forgiveness is an unconditional gift to someone who doesn't deserve it. An unconditional gift to someone who doesn't deserve it. The meanings of forgiveness at a human level is different than when it's like the releasing of the feelings, the anger, the hostility, the vengeance towards another person. Just releasing it in that hug of forgiveness. They're gone. Her life changed, Mary, in that day. Just changed. Satan wanted her not to forgive, but it just let go of that hostility, that vengeance. Forgiveness, one person's moral response to another's injustice. We need to be striving to think and live more like Christ every day, which will help us to be more forgiving like Christ. Meditating on these scriptures. Turn to the scripture that Colossians 9, 12 through 5, that show God's character. Colossians 3, my bad. I was adding some chapters. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Since God has chose you to be the holy people he loves, we must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. All those are incorporated in forgiveness. If we are working on these, they all are needed for forgiveness. And asking God as we read these, not just to read over them, but how can I become more of these each day? Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends us. Asking God, help me today. Remember the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Binds us as a church, a family. Perfect harmony, that love. Let that peace that comes from Christ's rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to be in peace and always be thankful. Always be thankful for that forgiveness. Always be ready to forgive other people that might have harsh words in the church or others in your family. Because if we're dwelling on how great a sacrifice and great a gift God has given it, it'll help us. This is a strategy that we can live day by day if we're looking at this and trying to imitate Christ, his mind. We put these scriptures into our heart. I'm trying to read a book. My mother-in-law's doing better. I bought a book on memorizing scriptures because it's hard for me. But these kind of scriptures, even if you're not good at meditating on them, read those and really think about them in the morning. If you can't memorize all things, some of it will come to you. It'll help you. But it's imitating Christ, trying to read these scriptures and seeing Christ's mind come out of it. And how can I apply it more today? It's God's character. How can I live this way just a little bit more? And God's Holy Spirit will guide us to forgiving others daily. How can we become more like that? Through humbling and praying to God. And it's only through God's Holy Spirit can we really totally forgive and forget and grow. But meditating on these verses is like meditating on, hey, what is God's thinking? What is God's character? He's given me my framework right here on how to become a better forgiver, how to become a better person. And we need to read them, not just read them quick, because the verses that we're going to be rereading, getting ready for the holy days, we've all read them. But it's rereading them and asking God's Holy Spirit to convict us, to be like in those prayers that David wore, and repent and say, how does this scripture apply to me even more? Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. And we've read this before, but 5 verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. These are all incorporated into forgiveness. The more we study, the more we try to become more like this, it'll help us. It'll bring back that joy. When we forgive some, show love to that person then. Because we realize this is God's nature. This is the qualities that are in God's, Christ's mind. Verse 24 of Galatians 5, where we are. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit, leading us in every part of our lives. It's simple. It's just right there. And we can reread it, read over it really quick, or we can break it down as we're studying, preparing for Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread. How can I really? And then applying in one way. How can I apply it more in how I'm forgiving others and how I'm appreciating God's forgiveness that he's given to us? Unfortunately, there's not that much of the fruits of the Spirit out in the world. There's so much unrest and hate. If the world really tried to apply these fruits, it'd be such a gift to the world. But in the kingdom, that will happen. The one word that really wraps it, all these up and is involved in forgiveness is love. Love. Love is needed more. Real love, Christ's love in this world, this country. We need Christ's return. When we're on our knees, that's showing love, you know, asking for Christ's return soon. There's so many people that have it worse than us, but an urgent need for that love to be back in this world, in our church, in our relationships everywhere. Turn to John 13, verse 35, please. John 13, verse 35. So now I'm giving you a new covenant. I'm giving you a new covenant, new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. Just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. For living that, not just reading it, but thinking about how we can apply the fruits that'll help us to love, that help us to forgive. The world so desperately needs this kind of love out there. In all our interactions, in the church and out there, how can we show that kind of love? But it says a new commandment. And God has always been love. We've always had the commandment, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. But what is it? In verse 34, you see there, it says, just as I have loved you. Now, that's what Christ is asking. To not just love us as a neighbor as ourselves, but he loved him more than himself. He loved us more than himself. So not as much as ourselves, but more than ourselves. And without God's Holy Spirit and drawing closer each day, that's impossible. There's little glimpses of it that you see in the world. There was a story of I don't know if you saw it a couple days ago, a little 10-year-old boy that drowned down in Tennessee. His little sister, who is six, Abigail, fell into a frozen pond, and Ben jumped in, and the other brother hadn't and got the dad, but Ben stayed in the water and held his sister up, and it just, he didn't make it, but his sister did. It's just a little glimpse of what kind of love God has for us. John 15, 12 to 13, John 15, we know this, but, I mean, this little boy acted it out in a way. We need to be thinking, how can we show this kind of love in service, calling other members? You know, a lot of people are excluded, getting them involved, showing them that love, or somebody you haven't called for a while, forgiving them. If that's the reason you haven't called. And get that relationship going again. Don't hold on to that bitterness. But John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for your friends in service. And physically, we might have to do that when persecution hits. But it's a new commandment to love others more than yourself. Love is so intertwined with forgiveness, and it's learning that aspect of Christ's mind, which then we appreciate that forgiveness, we appreciate his love even more. But it's meditating on those scriptures, not just rereading all the ones that we're going to be going through. We are Christ's disciples. We should be striving to have his mind. So many things have happened this year that have caused divisions in our country, in our church, even some people, and in families. Forgiveness. That is such a huge key. And that compassion and that love to others. That we need to be focusing on that even more. There's not that much out in the world. That's why we're seeing so much division. And it creeps into our church. It creeps into our family. And that's why this is a great time to be restudying. Well, how can I be more forgiving? How much do I really appreciate Christ's sacrifice and all the forgiveness that he has done for so many sins? The Holy Spirit will enable us to do this. It's a gift of God's fruits of his Holy Spirit. Christ requires this kind of love. It's not maybe, it's required. The greatest gift, of course, you know, is the life of the Son. and what that meant to the entire mankind. Not just one, like that boy saved his sister, but no, Christ's sacrifice is for all mankind. God's plan of hope and love that will eventually give everyone the opportunity of having their sins paid for. What a sacrifice. Incredible gift of eternal life. Not life like this, but a perfect life where people are striving to do the fruits of the Spirit. Forgiving if someone accidentally does something and moving on. You don't have to turn there, but John 3:16, for this is how God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Imagine the kind of love it would take if you had one son, an only child, and you gave that, sacrificed him. When we read that, think about that, and that's only limited how we feel, you know, how much pain we would go through, but how much love that shows. So that everyone who believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. The gift of this life, that God's son that he gave us, we need to appreciate it even more. But that's the more we study Christ, his mind, God's mindset, the more we'll appreciate it, and the more we're going to get more out of this Passover, the better we understand Christ's mind. Turn to Psalms 103. It's another great scripture to really meditate and write it out. I wrote down all my scriptures that I had down, and just the scriptures, just to go over and over, and I listened to them. Just on my iPhone, made it speak, and it just over and over, and just taking these scriptures before God on our knees with that repentant mind and that open, humble mind. Show me these verses. Have them come alive that we've read 100 times. Psalms 103 verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love. He will not consistently accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us. Put ourself in there. How am I doing according to this? Am I becoming more like God in these areas? As we deserve. For in verse 11, for this is unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. His love is that high. We can just read over and you can just like, thank you. Stop mid-verse and just say, thanks, God. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. And that's a struggle for humans to do, but God does. They're gone. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender, compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows we're weak, and we are, how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. God understands we're going to sin, we're going to mess up, but if we come to him in that repentance, he's going to forgive us in that humble mindset and really appreciate it. He cleanses us. Turn to Isaiah, if you would. When he forgives, he cleanses us. Total forgiveness. And that's what we have to keep. Sometimes people have wronged us really bad, and you're going to need a little time. You're going to need more God's Holy Spirit to really forgive somebody for certain things. But he'll cleanse us. This gives us that hope, no matter what sin we committed. And we were talking about the unpardonable sin. It's the sin that you don't ask for forgiveness of. That's what 1 minute was. Simple explanation of it. But what's that unpardonable sin? It's that sin that you haven't asked for repentance of. Because God can forgive us. Isaiah 1 verse 11. Wash yourself and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. One of those requirements is forgiveness is to work on changing. And really do change. And we're going to mess up. But keep working on changing. Keep improving. Verse 17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans, fight for the rights of widows. Come, no, let's settle this, says the Lord. Through your sins are like scarlet. I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. God wants us to come to him so we can cleanse it, so he can cleanse us. In verse 19, if you will only obey me, You will have plenty to eat. He's going to bless us. He's going to forgive us. But in verse 20, if you don't turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the swords of your enemies, and I, the Lord, have spoken. There's going to be consequences if we don't come and turn from our ways and ask for God's forgiveness, to learn to do good, help protect others. All these characteristics in these verses, we need to be thinking about how can we apply them. And these fruits of God's Spirit, developing them. The more we develop them, the more we're going to be able to forgive and forget and really repent more. We need these gifts dwelling in us and growing in us. How much have we grown in some of these areas? I know I have a lot of areas to keep working on, but be honest. Ask God to show us, where do we need to work more on? Why do we sin? Because we don't let God's Spirit guide us enough. Every day, starting out that day, did we take that time for that Bible, that prayer, and asking God to help us? Say, we're weak. We're going to mess up. Guide us, God. Take a couple of these verses, or just one of these verses. Help me to apply this verse that talks about your character more today, so I can be more forgiving. Let's look more at how we should treat one another. God, it talks about some of the requirement God wants us to do, but let's look at more about our relationship with one another, because occasionally we need to ask for forgiveness, or a lot of times we need to ask for forgiveness from each other or from our mate or from friends. Put on God's mindset to forgive others the same as Christ has forgiven us, and be thinking about that and looking back. Have I kind of shunned that person? I just kind of don't talk to them. I still haven't totally forgiven them. Am I praying for them if they came at you with harsh words? Am I just I'm done with them? Or am I really praying heartfelt that they'll change and you'll change and you can help each other and grow in unity in the church? Because Satan's trying to cause so much division, and if we just forgave more, it could heal so many of those things. Healing, forgiveness between each other is so important to God. It's one of those gifts he's given to us, and he wants us to want to give it to others. Extend it. You don't have to turn to Matthew, but in Matthew 8, 21, verse 22, it talks about the amount of forgiveness that we should show to one another. And we know the story about Peter asking, how many times someone sins against me or offends me, should I forgive them? And he said 7 times. And he's like, 70 times 7, we're supposed to forgive. 70 times 7. You can just read that over. But what does that really mean to us? It's saying it should be endless. Endless. That you forgive your brother in the church, that you forgive your sister at home. And I got to pick on some of my kids, my teenagers aren't here, and everything. That forgiveness for one another, 70 times 7. Without God's Holy Spirit, that's not possible. It's not possible. But having that endless love and asking God today, hey, as I go through today, somebody might offend me, but help me have this kind of your character, your mindset, that I'm going to forgive them 70 times 7, endless, just like you do. If we truly are taking on the mind of Christ to forgive somebody, ask God to have that limitless forgiveness for each other, because we all need it. We all mess up. We all say something we don't mean a certain way. We send an email a certain way or send a text, and you can read it so many different ways. Satan wants you to read it the wrong way, and it's better to just reading the way they said something, they probably meant that in a good way. If they didn't, help them. If they did, we'll just move on. Let it go. This year with COVID, there's been so many divisive things, whether to get the vaccine, whether not to, whether to wear masks, whether not to, whether to go to church, whether not to, whether to sing, whether not to. No, let's just be thankful that we're all here together. Certain people say certain things that can be a little harsh. Let's forgive. We're in it together. Satan is the enemy. And we have to keep working on being better at forgiving, appreciating the forgiveness even more. Because probably that's the most common way to offend each other, is our words. You look back on when you were offended as a child or teased. Those words stick with you for a long time. They hurt. And we have to be careful about that and ask God to guide our words. James 3, verse 2. As a salesman, I talk a lot. And so you guys all need to pray for me on this even more. But, I mean, it's a warning. It's a talking here. As we read, we can't just read through. We have to say, this weapon, this tongue, can be so encouraging or it can be so divisive. And you can give one compliment, but if you can give 10 compliments to her or something like that and one negative thing, and they're going to remember the negative thing. It's such a weapon. But read this and really think about, these are the kind of things that meditate, verses like this, to help us so we don't offend, so we don't have to be forgiven, and it's preventative. Indeed, we are all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We need God's Holy Spirit. It's telling you, you cannot do it alone. We need it. We can make a large horse go whatever way we want by the means of a small bit in it, its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn whatever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In that same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest afire. Just the one word that can set, can either encourage or just destroy somebody or cause division. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corruption, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. Makes you not want to ever say a word again, just But sometimes it praises your Lord and the Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and curses come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brother, this is not right. We have to take so much of God's help. We can't do it on our own. To be careful for every word you say. At camp this year, there was a girl that had said one word, a couple words to somebody, and camp when she was like 6 years ago. And she was still holding on to it. She felt like it. They were making fun of her. And she's like, how would another church person do that to me? She almost didn't want to come to church. And the girl didn't mean anything by it. It was a they got the girls talking, or they got it together, and they've worked it out. But from 6 years ago, imagine, she had held on to that. A little word. And it made me think more when I'm at camp. What did I say to that person and everything? They are so delicate. They're children sometimes, and then sometimes not. But those words, they soak in. And sometimes we can be hurt more by people in the church or more by our family because we have close relationships with them. Someone on the world says something, you're like, whatever. But if your wife or a close friend says something, or somebody in the church, you're like, you can hold on to that offense more. We really need to be watching what we say. James 1:9, if you turn there, please. Something I need to live by, we all do, and a lot less offenses would happen. James 1, verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires, so get rid of all the filth, the evil in your lives, and humbly accept the Word of God. The Word of God, the one we've been talking about, meditating. The Word of God that is planted in your heart. If you're meditating, it's in your brain, it's in your heart. For it has the power to save your souls. Meditate on these verses, on Christ, so we can become better forgiving, and really appreciate it. Stop. Think. Pray. when someone says something harsh to us or before we say things. Ask God to have these verses be our filters. You don't have to turn to it, but Philippians 4:8, Carl had talked about that earlier, about dwelling on these things that are true, that are honorable, that are right, that are pure. And Philippians 4:8, evaluate what we did each day. What did we speak on? Things that are true? Did we lie or not? Things that are honorable, things that are right. That can be our filter. If it is our filter, it'll help us so we don't offend more people. And that peace will be with you as that verse ends. Matthew 12, if you turn there, Matthew 12. It's a sober warning that we all need to take heed to. Matthew 12, verse 36 through 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Every careless word they speak. For by the words you will be justified, or by the words you will be condemned. This is important. It can affect our eternal life. Our words are sometimes the gives other people the greatest opportunity to be forgiving. And it's our greatest opportunity. So many people say things, write emails, text, blogs, Instagram, whatever. And you can take it so many different ways. And even if they meant it bad, forgive. You know, sometimes I've written things down on your that you're going to reply to something. And it's like, what did I do? Delete, 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 delete. Or write it on a piece of paper and what you think you should say back to somebody. And then maybe just burn it the next day. Or maybe you take one little sentence out of that's loving. Kind of, will this bring that relationship back together? But this can affect, we're going to be held accountable for every word. We're causing people to stumble. And by focusing on these verses that we've talked about, it's putting that mind of Christ in us so we can be like Christ more and more forgiving. If someone commits an offense against us, do we have this true forgiveness? Can we? Have we blotted it totally out of our mind? And as the years go, I think it can. But, you know, sometimes every time you see a certain person, you say, okay, I've forgiven them, but that memory comes into your head of what they did. Ask God. Move that as far as east and west. Help me to be more like you, like your mind. Just put it aside. Keep praying for that person. Keep doing good things with them. Showing love. Then those memories will blot out that bad offense that someone had done. The gift of forgiveness God has shown us is amazing. Passover is coming up, and we're going to be dwelling on this a lot more. And we need to be right with the people that we're around. God's not going to forgive us if we are not forgiving other church members, other people around. He's not going to hear our prayers. Sometimes I look back on, like, I think I've forgiven that person. You know, I've moved on. It's still in my mind a little bit. But if I think I'm worried about it, just pray for them. Do something nice for them. In Matthew 18, verse 23, if you just turn there, and it's another thing to think about how much God has forgiven us over the years, how much He's forgiven us. And it's a story about the servant who had a great debt, and the king forgave him because he asked for repentance. But when he was forgiven and not put in jail, how did that person act? How did that person act? So let's just go down into verse 28. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a very, very small amount. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So this fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay you all. And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. And down in verse 31, so when the fellow servants saw what they had done, they were grieved. And they came and told their master all that had been done. And the master, after this, called and said to him, you wicked servant. That's us sometimes when we don't forgive. You wicked servant. I forgave you all your debts. And it was huge because you begged me. Should you not also have the same compassion for your fellow servant, just as I've had pity on you? And this master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due. We don't want to be that wicked servant. And we all have been at certain times. We want to be the other one that gives that gift of that hug, the gift of forgiveness, like God gives us all the time. That needs our attention. Just don't read over it like a cute story. They're talking to us about we need to be more like this. In the way of this world, it's someone does something to you, your first thought is, what should I do back to them? Someone does something to you, first thing it should be praying for them, doing something nice for them. But that's not the way of this world. It's the exact opposite of Christ's character, is vengeance. And that vengeance just destroys relationships. If you look at the way Christ shows how we should be forgiving, and you really look at the way Christ's mind works, in Luke 23, verse 34, Luke 23, we all know this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he said this, you know, he was in excruciating pain. He had been marred beyond human likeness. He had been tortured. He was suffering. Did he hold on? Did he forgive? He forgave while they were still doing it to him. And that's the Christ mindset. And that can only be done with his Holy Spirit helping us. And that's why this is a great time to even be working on becoming more forgiving, shooting for this goal. Even if somebody's doing something right then, be forgiving. So as soon as you leave them, forgiving them and not retaliating, breaking that cycle of retaliation. That's what's wrong with this world so much. Don't avenge, let God deal with that person and work with them. But ours is to break that cycle. Forgive. When you look in families, you look at countries, you look at other things, it's that somebody did this, and then you retaliate back, and then it gets escalated, and it gets worse and worse. That's why the system's not working. They're not forgiving, they're retaliating. And the kingdom is not going to be like that. It's going to be Christ's mindset. Forgiveness. Maybe sometimes we're offended too easy. In this world, it's easy to get that way. And it's just another thing to be praying about. Hey, Satan's trying to cause division. God, help me to not be offended. In Psalms 119, verse 165, something to pray about. Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing will offend them. Love your law. Great peace. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is an incredible gift God gives to us that frees us. It's a great gift we can give to others even more as we're working on it, to be meditating on these verses. How can I apply these verses and become and learn more like what Christ's mindset is? So I can become a better forgiver, more appreciative of it. The better we understand Christ's character, the better we can be at these things. Let's strive to have a more peaceful, forgiving holiday season. You know, working with the relationship with God stronger, and church members, focusing on understanding and loving to forgive each other. But one verse, if you'll go to this as my last verse. It's an action verse that really sums up the whole sermon. And I should have just read this and said, meditate on this for 45 minutes. And then you would have snored. So, but you guys still might have, I don't know. But Ephesians 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Write it out. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness. Forgiveness is going to help you there. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words. Evaluate ourselves. Think, are we? And slander. as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. It sounds so simple, but be kind to each other. Ask God to help us to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Let us give that gift of forgiveness even more. It's like the biggest hug of love. And I just, that hug part I brought in because of Joy. Dickie, she's that just hug, the relief, let that bitterness go and know Christ is hugging us all in a spiritual way to help us be healed from all our many sins and to be restored. Hope you guys all have a great Sabbath.